We've been talking the last couple of days about the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, which finds itself in our parsha. And I'd like to continue on that halacha and discuss some very important shilas with regard to different cases of Pidyon HaBen where it may or may not apply. For example, when you have a birth that is not 100% natural, when you have what we call a Yotzei Dofen lahalacha, it's a child that comes out somehow in an unusual way, does a Pidyon HaBen have to be done on such a birth or not? And in order to fully appreciate that question, let's first back up and look at Hilchos Bris Milah and see if the halacha would be the same by Bris Milah or perhaps a little bit different. So we have a very important Mishnah, Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us about a Bris Milah that needs to be performed on Shabbos. So you have a baby that's born and needs to have a Bris on Shabbos, says the Gemara, even though it's certainly a malacha to do the Bris Milah on Shabbos, we assume that that is a malacha that is permissible. You're allowed to perform the Bris Milah on Shabbos, and as we know, we have a Bris Milah on Shabbos all the time. Says the Gemara, it doesn't just mean you're allowed to do the cutting itself, but you're allowed to do everything that's necessary for the baby to be healthy. So you're allowed to put the ointments and the creams on later on, and all the antiseptics, and everything that's necessary for the baby to be healthy is allowed to be performed on Shabbos. How do we know that that's true? How do we know that when a Bris Milah falls out on Shabbos that you're supposed to actually be Mechal Shabbos to do it? Says the Gemara, because we learn it from a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, where the pasuk tells us, "Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar." When you have a woman who conceives and then has a baby boy. So then it says, "Bayom hashmini yimal b'sar laso." Then it says that on the eighth day after the birth, the baby boy should have a bris milah. And says the Gemara, "Bayom hashmini" means whenever the eighth day is, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's weekday, whether it's Yom Tov. You have to do the Bris Milah on the Yom HaShmini. So that's what the Gemara says very clearly. At the same time, the next Gemara also states that a Milah Shelo Bizmana, when you have a Milah that is not being performed on the eighth day, for example, a child was sick, and you have to postpone the Bris Milah, says the Gemara, that kind of Milah is not Docha Shabbos. That will have to wait until Sunday. So even if the doctors give a clearance, and the first day that you're able to do the Bris falls out to be on a Shabbos, says the Gemara, for such a Bris Milah, you have to wait till Sunday. So much so that the Gemara tells us there as well, that let's say you have two young children, and the Mishnah says, Mishahayelo beis tinokos, two young children in the neighborhood, and there only happens to be one moel in town, and he knows on his calendar it says that he has to do a Bris Milah on Sunday, and one Bris Milah is going to be on Shabbos. And mistakenly he goes to the home of the Sunday Bris on Shabbos, and he performs the Bris on Shabbos. And then on Sunday morning, he goes to the other home and he does that one. Says the Gemara, Chayiv, you have violated the Malacha on Shabbos because you have done a Bris Milah that you were not allowed to perform right now. And therefore, the Gemara says you are like someone who is punishable for being Mechal of Shabbos because a Milah Shelo Bizmana, when you have a Milah that's proper time is not on Shabbos, you are not allowed to perform that Bris Milah. And this is the way the Rambam writes very clearly. It's clear, it's unequivocal, it's all agreed upon, it's absolute that a Milah Shelo Bizmana is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, both in Aruch Chaim, as well as in Yeredeya as well, that a Milah Shelo Bizmana is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Now what about when you have a Bris Milah for a child that was born not through natural means? What does it mean? How do you have a child who's born not naturally? So what we call in Halacha is a Yotzei Dofen, which means you have a child who's born through a C-section, we call it nowadays. So the question is the Bris Milah of such a child Docha Shabbos or not? So you would say, why not? That child is a child like every other. The child is healthy. Why shouldn't you do the Bris Milah on Shabbos? So the Gemara actually discusses this and says, such a Bris Milah is not allowed to be performed on Shabbos. Such a Bris Milah is not allowed to be performed on Shabbos if the child was born with a C-section. And that's why the Chazon Ish writes clearly that since this is the Psak in Shulchan Aruch, and this is the way the Rambam assumes as well, that when a child is born through a C-section, that Bris Milah is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Says the Chazon Ish, we have to make sure that as a community, we're vigilant. When a mole is called up, we have to make sure that he asks the right questions. He has to make sure to ask, was the child born naturally or was the child born through a C-section? Not because he's being nosy, but because he doesn't have a right to be Mechal Shabbos if the child was born through any other way than a natural birth. And that's what the Gemara teaches us. How does the Gemara come to this halacha? Why is this true? So the Gemara says the truth is, you have to look at that original source of why we assume that a Bris Milah is ever Docha Shabbos. The original source is a pasuk in Parshas Tazria. And there the pasuk says, a woman who conceives, and she gives birth. So first the Torah tells us she has to abstain from her husband for a certain period of time. because she has what we call tumas leida, because she had blood that came out of her body at the time of the birth. Therefore, we assume she has to abstain from being with her husband. And after that, the pasuk says, uvayom hashmini yimol b'sar lasso. So the Gemara says, from the fact that all of this is put together, the mitzvah of bris milah together with the prohibition for her to be with her husband, says the Gemara, we learn a very important halacha from there. Kol isha shehi tmeya leida, only a birth which is going to make her impure to her husband is a birth where you're allowed to do the bris milah on Shabbos. However, when you have a birth which did not make her impure to her husband, for example, a C-section, because the blood from her body did not come out through the vaginal canal, rather it came out of her stomach, out of the incision, wherever it is. So therefore we assume a case like that, says the Gemara, one is not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to perform that bris milah, because that's the structure of the psukim. Not only that, there's a very contemporary discussion that's of extreme relevance nowadays. We know that nowadays we have, sometimes people are not able to conceive on their own, sometimes a couple unfortunately is not able to have children naturally, and therefore they do some sort of artificial insemination, or they have what we call zera malachutit. We go through some kind of outside procedure in order to help them conceive. And the question is, let's say you have a child. Normally, anyone other than the couple themselves don't really know about the fact that there were outside resources used in order to conceive this child. But it's very relevant, lahalacha perhaps, because there's a major discussion. So nowadays you have babies that are born. We're fortunate to be blessed in a generation where we have many babies that are born through outside interventions. And the question is, since that's also not a natural conception, maybe we should assume that such a bris milah cannot be performed on Shabbos either. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is actually not sure about this, because after all, if you look back at the original source, the Torah says, Isha ki tazria, when a woman will conceive, and then she'll give birth, then you do the bris milah on the Yom HaShmini, even if it's on Shabbos. But what if somewhere along the way there was a break in that process? Either that she didn't naturally conceive, which nowadays happens all the time, or she didn't naturally give birth, which also happens all the time, a C-section. So maybe you should say that such a bris milah is not doche Shabbos, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was not sure what the halacha is in such a case. Which, if you're not sure about whether or not you have a right to be mechal Shabbos, you maybe shouldn't do that. And that's a major, major question. How do we view these IVF or all kinds of artificial insemination or outside interventions for a conception? Should we assume that now you have to make sure to notify the moah later on, which is something that's probably very uncomfortable, but you have to notify the person perhaps that a bris milah is not allowed to be done on Shabbos because after all the conception happened not through natural means. So that's a very important and relevant shaila halacha lemaisa that comes up today. Should we assume that you have to think about that or not? But either way, by a bris milah we assume you're not allowed to do a milah shelo bizmana on Shabbos, and you're also not allowed to do a milah that was a yotzei dofen on Shabbos, a milah where the birth happened not through natural means, what we call a C-section. The Rambam, I'm very amused whenever I see this Rambam quoted, where the Rambam writes in Maseches Bechoros, and you see how blessed we are that our technology and our medical knowledge has advanced so much to the fact that we don't even understand what the Rambam's talking about. But the Rambam says, Masha omrim hamagidim, the Rambam says, this that people say, that there's such a thing as an isha chaya, as a woman can live, achar shekorim dofenah. People say there's such a thing as a woman who's able to live after they open up her womb to take out the child, and misaberes violetus, and then later on she can live on to the point that she can become pregnant again and give birth once again. Eni yodea lo tam v'hu inyan zar me'od, says the Rambam. To me, this is a strange concept. I don't believe that it's actually possible. And the Rambam says, to me, it's just a fairy tale. It's impossible, because he couldn't imagine that we have the technology that we have today, that a woman can actually be opened up and closed up right away, and it's not a threat to her life at all. But that's amusing that the Rambam himself, when he talks about a C-section, says in his mind this is just a dream. It's something that is not even a possibility. So now let's take all of this and translate it into the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. When you have a child that's born through unnatural means, which means a child is born through a C-section, so we assume that child's bris is not allowed to be on Shabbos. What about the child's Pidyon HaBen? What would you say for a case like that? So the Gemara Bechora says clearly, when you have a yotzei dofen, when you have a child who is not born naturally, when you have a child who is born through a C-section, so in a case like that, says the Gemara, that child is not called a Bechor. And therefore, you are not allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen on such a child, because that's not the Bechor. And similarly, says the Gemara, the next child that might be born naturally after the first child was born through a C-section also would not need a Pidyon HaBen, because that child is also not the Peter Rechem. That is not the firstborn child. And this one is not the firstborn child because it wasn't born naturally. And therefore the Gemara says clearly in Bechoros that a Pidun HaBen is not performed when you have a child who's born through a C-section. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. That Haba Achar Nefalim even if the first child that was born naturally was a child that was a stillborn, and that was born through a vaginal birth and everything was natural then, the next child that is born is not going to have a Pidun HaBen performed to them either, because you're missing that factor that you need the first child to be born naturally, and you need the first child to be born that survives in order to be required to perform the mitzvah Pidun HaBen. So that's what the Gemara says clearly. Now what about when you have a child who is a stillborn and is not a completely fully developed child that is born? So there the Shulchan Aruch tells us that as long as it has a tzuras havlad, as long as it has, again, how do you define what is a tzuras havlad? When is a child considered to be considered already looking like a child? But whatever that point is, the Shulchan Aruch says, once you get to that point, if unfortunately there's a stillborn, then the next child that is born is not going to have a Pidun HaBen, which is something that's painful also, because every so often you have a couple who has a child like that, unfortunately, that is born, and they don't tell people about it. It's at a very early stage, and they don't inform other people of the fact that they had a stillborn child. And not everybody knows. And then later on, everyone's very excited that they have a child a year or two later, and everything's natural, and everything's healthy, and everything's wonderful. But they're not really allowed to do a Pidun HaBen because this is not the firstborn child. They already had a child that came through the vaginal canal and unfortunately did not survive. So that's a very difficult and touchy subject. Whenever the Shiloh comes up, it's very difficult. How do you navigate that carefully without hurting the feelings or the sensitivities of the people who are involved? However, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes a very important Chiddush, and that is the following. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes on Shulchan Aruch that when you have both factors, for example, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have number one, that the child was a C-section baby, and number two, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it was a nafel, it was a stillborn, then when you have both factors against you, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the next child that will be born will require a Pidun HaBen, which is a big chiddush, but my father has told me in the past that's the way we paskin. Again, when I have both factors against me, number one, that it was not a natural birth, it was a C-section, number two, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, if it's also that the child was a nafel and it was not a bar kayama, the child did not survive, in a case like that, Rabbi Kiva Eger argues that a Pidun HaBen would be required for the next child that is born. So that's a very fascinating halacha to be aware of as well. Rabbi Pesach Frank discusses it at length, but it's a chiddush that needs to be thought about. One other complication that happened actually in our family was when our first child was born. So our child was born on Shabbos. Our first baby boy was born on Shabbos. And my parents came to the hospital Matzah Shabbos to visit us, and my father was listening to the story. My wife was probably telling my mother about the whole story of the delivery. And there was some complication, and although it's very unusual nowadays to use forceps, but that's what was used by our first child. The doctors put in an instrument and pulled the baby out. So my father right away said, oh, are we allowed to have a bris on Shabbos? Are we allowed to have a Pidun HaBen for this child? And he was getting very excited about the fact that he had to deal with the Shiloh, not realizing that my wife was a Bas Levi and we had no Shiloh Pidun HaBen anyway. But the Shiloh was interesting regardless. And the question is, when you have a child who's born not through natural means, as we mentioned before, when you have a Yotzei Dofen, when a child is born through a C-section, so we said that kind of bris milah is not Docheh Shabbos. What about when you use some assistance, some aid, meaning the child is born naturally, but you take forceps and you pull the child out? Does that mean that we would also not be allowed to do a bris milah like that on Shabbos? So the Achronim say clearly, absolutely not. Of course a bris milah is done on Shabbos for such a child, because generally we assume that child was born naturally, and all that was done was there was a little bit of aid, a little bit of assistance to pull the child out, and therefore we assume certainly that's enough of a natural birth, a natural delivery, to require a bris milah even on Shabbos. Now the shaila that comes up is, that the Achronim discuss very much, is what about for a Pidun HaBen? For a Pidun HaBen, one requires that this is the peta rechamimo, that this is what opened up the womb of the mother. But here, the Achronim discuss, when you use a outside instrument, when you use forceps or something of that nature, maybe we should assume that that's not really called peta rechamimo, because after all, this didn't open up the womb. You had an instrument that opened up the womb. So this is a major discussion in the Gedolei Achronim. Should we assume that a Pidun HaBen is required under those circumstances or not? And the Avnei Nezer comes to the conclusion, which I think if you talk to anyone who is involved in delivering children, it's clear that we never stick the forceps further into the womb. The forceps are only used after the child's head has already begun to emerge. And therefore we assume very correctly, like the Avnei Nezer points out, that that's called a natural birth. The child is already born at that time. Once the head has begun to come out, we assume the child is already considered the Bechar, and therefore just because we aid the delivery process by putting an instrument inside and pulling the child out, that does not invalidate a Pidyon HaBen, and we certainly would require a Pidyon HaBen in a case like that. We have an instrument that we use today also, which is a vacuum, that they also help the process along to pull the child out. And as far as I understand it, the vacuum also, the Acharonim say, is something that is only used after the child has already emerged into the vaginal canal, which means the child is already basically born. Now we're just helping the child come out further by speeding up the process and using this vacuum. And therefore, by a vacuum birth, we would assume that a Pidyon HaBen is required as well. The only thing my father has pointed out to me in the past is that this is all true when you use these kinds of instruments, since the instruments are only used after the child has already basically emerged from the mother's body. However, he said sometimes you have a situation where there's a very complicated birth, and the doctors will make an incision and then actually stick their hands in. They make an incision in order there should be more room. They stick their hands in and pull the child out. In a case like that, then certainly the Pidyon HaBen is not required, because the doctor is the one who pulled the baby out and is not the child who opened up the womb of the mother. So one has to be very careful when trying to figure out when a Pidyon HaBen is required and when perhaps not. You have to be very aware of the scientific aspect of how exactly the baby was delivered and how exactly the baby was born. Whether it was a natural delivery or not will make a major difference with regard to a Bris Milah b'Shabbos, and number two, with regard to a Pidyon HaBen as well. All of those consequences will have to be weighed very carefully.